Leaf Filter, America's number one gutter and gutter protection company. Right now, you can save 30% off your entire order. Just go to leaffilter.com/Glenn Beck. Leaf Filter's trusted pros will clean out, realign, and seal your gutters before installing Leaf Filter's award-winning and patented technology, trusted by over a million homeowners. Schedule your free inspection and get up to 30% off your entire purchase at leaffilter.com/Glenn Beck. That's leaffilter.com/Glenn Beck. See a representative for warranty details.
Summer is all about making memories, right? Backyard barbecues, road trips, maybe finally getting around to that hiking trail you've been eyeballing. But if you're living with pain, those future memories can be stolen from you. So here's a thought. Call 1-800-4-RELIEF and try Relief Factor. Relief Factor is a 100% drug-free daily supplement designed to help your body fight pain. It's a doctor-developed formula made from natural ingredients. Best part? Relief Factor doesn't mask pain. It helps reduce or even eliminate it for good. Whether it's kayaking, running around with the little ones, or just chilling in a hammock, Relief Factor can help you feel better, move better, and do more of the things you love all summer long. So, if you're ready to reclaim your summer, head over to ReliefFactor.com or give them a call at 1-800-4-RELIEF. Do it now and get their 3-week quick start for just $19.95. That's 1-800-4-RELIEF.
Assemblymember Barbara Haney is fighting for you. She's a proven leader who stands by the tax cap, keeping more money in your pocket while others push for higher taxes. Barbara fights for common sense solutions that work for Fairbanks. She's committed to responsible spending, government transparency, and protecting borough residents from government overreach. Barbara led the charge to create the borough's online checkbook because you deserve to see where your tax dollars go. On Election Day, vote for Barbara Haney because your hard-earned dollars deserve a watchdog, not a blank check. Paid for by Haney for FNSP, PO Box 10139, Fairbanks.
Don't let summer slip by without a journey to Valdez to experience the majestic Prince William Sound with Stan Stevens Glacier and Wildlife Cruises. Relax on their comfortable vessels as you explore the fjords and passageways of the Sound to Columbia or Mears Glacier. See marine bird and wildlife, including seals, sea otters, sea lions, porpoise, humpback whales, orca whales, puffins, eagles, and more. Tour rates begin at $170, so call 866-867-1297 to book your trip with the experts in the Sound, Stan Stevens Cruises. Ask for your Alaska resident discount.
Stay tuned. Fox News is on the way on KFAR Fairbanks, the heartbeat of Alaska.
This is a Fox News alert. High stakes in Alaska. I'm Lisa Brady. President Trump just arriving in Anchorage for a summit on Ukraine with Russia's President Putin, telling reporters on the way there he's trying to save lives.
I want to see a ceasefire rapidly. I don't know if it's going to be today, but I'm not going to be happy if it's not today. Everyone said it can't be today, but I'm just saying I want the killing to stop. I'm in this to stop the killing.
The White House just confirming he will be joined by Secretary of State Marco Rubio and Special Envoy Steve Witkoff for the meeting, with other top U.S. officials joining a later lunch meeting, including the defense chief, treasury, and commerce secretaries. President Trump warning of severe economic consequences if there's no progress with Russia. But there may also be economic benefits as part of any potential deal.
If you look at the map of what the areas Russia controls inside Ukraine, Russia controls the territory where almost all of the rare earth minerals sit in Ukraine. Now, in April, the U.S. entered into a joint partnership with Ukraine where profits from rare earth mining and other energy-related infrastructure projects get split 50-50 between Ukraine and the U.S.
Fox Business's Edward Lawrence at the White House, the president telling reporters today any deal over land swaps that include rare earth mining would have to be made with Ukraine's President Zelensky, who today called out continued Russian attacks ahead of the summit. Russia's president also just landing in Anchorage minutes ago. President Trump had remained on Air Force One temporarily, exchanging greetings with several U.S. senators. We're just getting word the mayor of New Orleans is indicted by a federal grand jury after a long-running corruption investigation. No confirmation of specific charges yet, though, but an attorney for Mayor LaToya Cantrell says an indictment was returned. The term-limited mayor, who's scheduled to leave office in January, has said she's been unfairly targeted. America is listening to Fox News.
If you're sending your child off to college this fall, make sure you give them more than a backpack and a laptop. You need to give them peace of mind. This world is a very dangerous place. Go to Byrna, B-Y-R-N-A. It is the less lethal launcher, and it is the ultimate off-campus protection without the legal, financial, or emotional burden of using a firearm. I carry one every single day. I recommend anyone concerned about personal safety or the safety of their family, you need one as well. By the way, it's legal in all 50 states. They can ship it straight to your door. And don't forget, over 500 government agencies now are using this incredible technology because you can incapacitate any perpetrator for 30 to 40 minutes. Legal all 50 states, no background check required, and it fires those kinetic rounds. Just go to BYRNA.com, all hand assembled in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Visit BurnerBYRNA.com today and find the right launcher for your family. That's BYRNA.com.
A partisan fight over new congressional maps appears far from over in Texas.
Immediately after the first failed special session ended Friday in the Texas State House.
House stands adjourned, sine die.
Governor Greg Abbott ordering another special session, and again, Democrats who fled the state to prevent a quorum needed for now remain no-shows as Republicans look to redistrict House seats and take up other issues, including property tax cuts and flood relief.
They talk as though they're going to be showing up today or tomorrow. We'll wait and see. But we hold a lot more bullets in our belt that we will be ready to use if we need to.
Absent Democrats have said they'll return to the state, though many remain beyond reach of civil warrants filed for their arrests.
Fox's Jeff Benasso. The Democratic lawmakers have also said they'll take the map fight to court while encouraging other states to redraw maps aimed at helping Democrats win more seats. California's governor has already called for a special election on new maps this November. As the Little League World Series continues in Pennsylvania, the organization behind the event, Little League International, is telling sports bettors to avoid placing bets on the annual tournament.
The organization releasing a statement saying in part, quote, "No one should be exploiting the success and failures of children playing the game they love for their own personal gain. Gambling on the Little League World Series is illegal in the U.S., but that doesn't stop people from placing bets on unregulated and overseas sports books." A manager of one of those platforms telling Patch.com that they will see more bets on Little League games over the next 2 weeks than any professional tennis or soccer match. Sports betting has been gaining popularity in recent years, with some professional athletes even being punished for gambling on their own sports. Tony Genualdo, Fox News.
An hour to the close on Wall Street. The Dow is up 70 points, but for now back under 45K. The S&P and the NASDAQ in the red. I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News.
You can plan on it every day. You're either building something or you're repairing and adjusting stuff around the house. The list is long, from squeaking hinges to the annoying kitchen cabinet that refuses to stay shut. Well, there's always something, right? Sticky doors to the occasional wiring job and everything in between. You need tools, and Century Hardware has your back with the hand tools, power tools, and the largest selection of fasteners in the interior. Open every day. Century Hardware. What you need right now.
The following interviews and commentaries are for entertainment only. The views and opinions expressed therein are those of the individual speakers and callers and do not necessarily represent the views of KFAR Radio or any of our respective employees, affiliates, or sponsors of this program.
Problems, problems, problems all day long.
Good morning. You have tuned in to Problem Corner on KFAR 660 AM 97.5, I think is what you say, FM and KFARradio.com. Your guest host this morning is Mike Prox, filling in for he who will not be named. And my guests are Dave Larimer and Rick Van Nuysen. I don't know how close. Van Nuysen.
That was close.
That was close enough.
It was Van Nieuwenhuizen.
Van Nieuwenhuizen, yes.
Or just Rick for short.
Or just Rick. Yeah. Yes, that's easier to remember. We'll go with that. Yes. Of Contango Ore. And Rick, you're the CEO of Contango and Dave, your
exploration
manager.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Or just the geo.
Just the geo. Okay, yeah. Very good. So, we're going to be learning a little bit about Contango and mining. And if you want to call in, the number to call is 458-8255. That's 458-TALK. And with that, let's get going. If you could tell us, Rick, a bit about Contango and actually the history of it. This is a really interesting, for Alaska, history.
Yeah, so Contango, we're a New York Stock Exchange listed company, mm-hmm. Symbol CTGO. We're headquartered here in Fairbanks. All of us live in Fairbanks. Actually, a lot of us are geologists, and we all take on different roles now. But we're definitely a boots on the ground sort of company. We started as an oil and gas company, and there still is a Contango Oil and Gas. We were invited to explore the Tetlin traditional lands.
Mm-hmm.
They're private lands down at by Tetlin, south of Tok there. We were invited up to explore for oil and gas. And I'm using the royal we here.
Right.
This is
mm-hmm.
the oil and gas company. And that was in 2006 or something, about in that time frame. And long story short, this was back when ConocoPhillips was thinking about building a gas line down to northern BC and connecting mm-hmm. into the gas fields up there, and then building this ginormous LNG plant and shipping LNG all over the world. That was lots of grandiose ideas. There were a bunch of those kinds of projects back then. Anyways, the Tetlin tribe said, well, maybe we've got gas on our traditional lands. It's a big piece of real estate. It's about the mm-hmm. size of the state of Rhode Island, which
mm-hmm.
is our smallest state, but it's still a
big
sizable
chunk
of land. So they invited Contango Oil and Gas to come up and look at and evaluate their lands for oil and gas potential.
Mm-hmm.
Signed a lease and said oil and gas and minerals.
Mm-hmm.
And long story short, they came up and did a quick evaluation for oil and gas. And within about probably the first day, realized these are all high-grade metamorphic rocks. And if there was any oil and gas in these rocks, they left like 500 million years ago. So zero potential for oil and gas, a very quick evaluation. And then the tribe and the Contango folks said, well, we've got minerals here, so we've never really explored the lands. And you have to kind of realize the Tetlin tribe, they opted out of ANCSA.
Mm-hmm.
They did not want to be part of Doyon. They did not want to be a part of Otna. Regional Native Corporation. So they said, hey, back in the 20s, we were an Indian reservation under the old BIA rules.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when they solved, Aboriginal rights and title.
Mm-hmm.
Just give us the title to our Indian reservation lands. And long story short, that's what happened.
Mm-hmm.
So it's private land. The Contango came in and evaluated for oil and gas, said there's nothing here, let's look for minerals. And they hired Kirk Freeman, a local Alaskan, well-known Alaskan geologist. He had a company called Avalon Development to start the process for evaluating these lands. And this is the first time that anybody from the outside really had been in and looking at the Tetlin lands. There's a mm-hmm. bit of a hole in the map geologically mm-hmm. because the USGS had never really been in there. The State Geological Survey had never really been in there.
Mm-hmm.
So they very quickly found a fairly nice deposit. Took, just doesn't happen overnight, but over a period of, I think they signed the agreement in 2008, 2009, something like that. And by 2012, they'd made a discovery. Mm-hmm. 11, 12, they made a discovery, and they developed what became what we now call Manh Choh.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the beginning of the company. And they basically separated the oil and gas business from now the gold mining business. And
right.
So that's the early history.
We
were looking for oil, and it's a bit of a Jed Clampett Beverly Hills Billy story.
and that's somewhat how it works. Geology is a fascinating profession, I guess, science, but you have to figure out how to find the broad, in the broad perspective, big places to start looking, but then there's a lot of luck involved, I think, right?
Yeah, we like to think we make our own luck, and that's where folks like Dave and the exploration team come in is, you know, he's got to be lucky, but he's got to be smart.
Yes, look in
both
the...
Both at the same time.
Both at the same time, yes. There's, I can't remember the short one, but luck is a matter of planning ahead and following through.
Yes. And sometimes it's better to be lucky than smart.
Yes, that is true. I found that. Yeah, right.
Works for me.
Yeah. All right, so then you found the deposit on the Mancho property, and then you got involved, or they, I guess, made arrangements with larger companies, eventually Kinross.
Yeah, so these guys were oil and gas background.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they had their investors were mostly sort of other oil and gas folks who said, oh, yeah, this will be fun. Let's go look for a gold mine.
Mm-hmm.
Literally not much more complicated than that. So it's effectively a it was a technically a public company because it was listed over the counter,
mm-hmm.
but it didn't trade. And so effectively it was a private listed company.
I see.
On what they call the over-the-counter pink sheet market,
right.
Which is odds and sods, and not in certain in mining context, not many companies pay attention, or not many investors pay attention to that.
To those companies that are over the counter,
pink yeah. sheet listed, they
yes.
don't trade. So
right.
They trade by appointment, as they say.
Mm-hmm.
So they, you know, they spent some, you know, significant dollars from a personal their personal standpoint, and they said, hey, we found a 1 million ounce deposit here. Let's stop spending our own money and get some, you know, somebody who
extra
knows what they're doing
yep.
from the mining side. And they joint ventured it with a company called Royal Gold.
Mm-hmm.
They spent about $40 million doing the feasibility study. But Royal Gold's a royalty company, and they're not really mine operators.
Mm-hmm.
And I think their hope was that somebody else would come in and take the whole thing over. But 1 million ounce deposits... It's a lot of gold. It sounds like a lot of gold. It is a lot of gold. But in today's world, it's not a lot of gold to a major mining company like
mm-hmm.
a Barrick or a Newmont or an Agnico Eagle or someone like that. So it was kind of in that never-never land. And so it wasn't big enough for a big company to take over. And it was too big for a junior company to go raise the capital for to build it. And... You know, we're talking something on the order of $500 million of capital to build a mill and a tailings facility and a power plant at site
mm-hmm.
and a long time to permit.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the part that for a junior company, if it takes, you know, and they say it takes, you know, more than 15 years on average to permit a mine in the United States, well, you can't keep the market's attention. A junior company cannot keep the market's attention for that long a period
right.
of time. So this thing got high centered. I would It just kind of was sitting there. Everybody knew about it. It was good grade and all that. But it couldn't raise the capital. And a big company didn't want to buy the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
So that's when they hired me to come in and say, hey, would you fix this thing? It's we don't know it's kind of broken.
Yeah. Well, let's take a break. I got a quarter after the hour. We got to take a short break here to get some words from our sponsors, and then we will pick it up after the break. So please stay with us. You're listening to Problem Corner on KFAR 660 AM, and we are talking about mining, and specifically a local company, Contango Ore. And so stay with us. We will be right back.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Today's Valdez Fishing Report is proudly brought to you by 49th State Remodeling and Restoration, Alaska's trusted name in quality work. From drywall and painting to full kitchen and bath remodels, pressure washing, flood and fire restoration, even sandblasting, gutter cleaning, driveway surfacing, and log home restoration. Summer or winter, they'll even go remote. Serving Alaska statewide with over 20 years of experience. Call 907-378-5610. Remodel, restore, big or small, they handle it all. Your upgrade starts with 49th State Remodeling and Restoration.
It's time for the Valdez Fishing Report. Interviews, derby standings, tips, and advice for Prince William Sound.
Lori Prox here with Addison Lyons. You've been catching fish all summer long. You won a daily prize. You were the winner of Big Prize Friday. You're 12 years old from Post Falls, Idaho. You're here visiting your aunt, fishing almost every day. And this is your first women's derby, though. So what have you heard about women's derby and being the queen of the Silver Salmon Sisterhood? Like, what do you think about that, the possibility?
I'm just very surprised, excited, too. Very excited.
And sounds like you limited out, is that right, on fish?
Yeah, I did.
And we're back to port by at what time?
About, like, 3, 2, about.
So how is the silver fishing?
Oh, pretty good. It's really good. Yes. Best it's been for a while.
I know you're not telling me. You already said you're not going to tell me where you were, but how deep were you fishing?
About like 60, 50, about.
50, 60 feet. And what was working? Any certain flashers, colors? You got to give up something.
The secret lure.
And you said you've been driving the boat a bit. So do you have a secret to your trolling? Do you go straight? Do you go crooked?
I go like zigzags a little.
Little zagging. Okay.
Yeah.
Any other advice for people who might want to catch a big one?
Just go fishing. You got to get out there.
If you're looking to catch a big halibut, silver salmon, or rockfish in Valdez, get geared up at the Prospector in Valdez. Need boots or rain gear? Prospector's got it. Our Valdez store has rods, reels, tackle, bait, and even coolers to bring your catch home too. Talk to our local experts and get the right gear for Prince William Sound. The Prospector's open late all summer.
KVAK's Valdez Fishing Report. Fish Valdez and reel in a big one.
KFAR Weather.
Cloudy skies expected today with a slight chance for scattered showers. High temperatures reach up to 53. Westerly winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. Overcast skies tonight. Chance for scattered rain showers. Lows dip down to about 43. Chance for scattered rain showers tomorrow 56. Cloudy. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Laura Lockwood.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
And we are back. Thank you for staying with us. You're listening to Problem Corner on KFAR Radio 660 AM. Your guest host this morning is Mike Prox. And with me in the studio is Dave Larimer and Rick Van Nieuwhuizen. I'm getting closer. Yes. This is good. We'll have this by the end of the hour. And we're talking about Contango-Orr, which is a Fairbanks-based company that is developing the Mancho wine down by Tetlin and gold mining in general. Yeah, with that. So we talked about, we got up to the Contango ore getting involved, and you then did more exploratory work, or did you do some of the design for the mine and things like that?
Yeah, no. So I got involved in just before COVID, into 2019. Kurt's one of my best friends, so he and I talked a lot about the project over the years, and I met some of the key people. Our chairman in particular, Brad Juneau. And long story short, they brought me on to sort of, you know, right the ship, if you will, because it was kind of just floundering and being a great deposit, but not able to attract the capital and not able to sell it to a major. So when I got involved, the concept was we knew Kinross had a mill with XX. Capacity, mill capacity. They were basically using about half the mill capacity. And so, it's a long story, and it got complicated or slowed down because of COVID, because, you know, you couldn't meet and you couldn't travel and all that stuff. But Contango proposed a 70-30 joint venture to Kinross, and taking advantage of that existing capacity at the mill. When the benefit to us is that we didn't have to then raise the capital to build our own mill and mill and tailings facility and power plant, which is, you know, we had done a study and it said it was going to be around $500 million. We all know in today's world, it takes a long time to permit things. And even if things went well, it would take at least 5 years to permit things. And by the time you did that, the capital would be $600 million or $700 million.
Right.
And that's the part of the story that is, you know, is just too hard for a junior company to do. So what we call it now our direct shipping ore model was taking advantage of the existing infrastructure at Fort Knox, not building all that infrastructure down there, and simply mining. And it's a relatively simple mine as mines go, because it's on top of the hill. You don't have a lot of water up on top of the hill. Right. You just have to worry about the water that falls on your head, which is fairly easy to manage compared to, say, one that's at the bottom of a river valley.
Right.
So that meant we were able to get the mine permitted relatively quickly because there was very few things to permit. It's on private land. That always helps. And private land owned by the Tetlin tribe. They receive a royalty, and we've been working with them closely on job training, jobs and job training and job development and all those things. So that we have a really good working relationship with Tetlin. And Kinross has kind of taken it to the next level now that it's a mining operation. Safety is always the number one priority. You know, we start every day in any exploration camp or mining activity, mining company. You start your day off talking about safety. What's the job today? And you outline how we, you know, what are the risks that we're going to be looking at when we do this job, and how do we mitigate that? So, long story short, got the deal done with the 70-30 with Kinross. We started started mining in August 29th. It's on one of our. I just saw that on one of our T-shirts the other day. 2023. Basically a year ramp up of mining, stockpiling, and then starting to transport the ore to the Fort Knox mill and building the stockpiles. Started July 8th, 2024 was our first official gold pour celebration. And so we've been in operation a little over a year now, and I think things are kind of up on, if you're familiar with boating, when you get the boat up on step, it's kind of just cruising. So that's kind of where we're at. We're producing about 60. Our share of production is about 60,000 ounces of gold a year. The mine produces about 200, obviously 70% being Kinross. Great group of contract miners. Kiewit is the contract miner. They've been doing a great job at the mine. And then the truck haul done by BGT, and they've done an awesome job.
They have. And it was interesting. I visited the site before anybody really started digging dirt, and I was impressed with how neat and orderly the site and the, what do they call it, the ore shack and the kind of the headquarters down there. And they're talking about that, and I asked, well, where's the mill? And that's when I heard about trucking, and I didn't ask another question. My next phone call when I got back to Fairbanks was, DOT, have you heard about this? And sure enough, they had been working with DOT and going about things correctly. I was impressed with that because I thought, wow, that's going to be something, the expense of hauling the ore. But you just find a deposit that works for that model and give it a go.
It's all about grade.
Yep.
We have a deposit that averages about 8 grams of gold and costs us about a gram to do the truck haul, which is sort of the extra piece,
right,
if you will,
yep,
as opposed to having a mill there. But we don't have to spend $700 million building a mill.
Right. And the environmental assessment said, yep, that's the least environmental impact, too. You didn't have to worry about all the extra emissions and disturbance of the land to build the mill.
From a greenhouse gas perspective, and you might not think this is logical because you're doing the truck haul, but you think about all the things you have to bring to a mine.
Yes.
So there's still a truck haul involved.
Yes.
It's just kind of going the other way. It's actually, there's a greenhouse gas benefit to this setup, to doing the DSO model. So we've cranked all the numbers and cranked all the math, and it's hard. You need grade to do this. But it's hard to find a less impactful approach to mining.
Right. Yes. And Mr. Lermer.
Yes.
We've got to talk about other things going on in Fairbanks. You're also with the Alaska Miners Association. Is that correct?
Yep. In my copious free time, I'm also the Fairbanks branch chair for the Alaska Miners Association here. So we have our weekly meetings, in the winter and fall, and, we advocate for mining exploration,
you know, and just kind of keep people informed of what's going on here locally, you know, and what we can do, at least kind of keep that community together of not only explorationists, not only the miners, but our vendors, you know, the people that support mining, which is a huge aspect of Fairbanks.
Right. It always, well, Fairbanks is started because of gold mining and
Transportation. Hub.
Mining and transportation, yes. Yep. And we arrived, I came up with my mom and dad in 69, and that was still a big deal in 69. Mostly, I think, actually exclusively placer mine. Well, no, there was underground.
There was a couple odds and ends, underground placers. And a lot of, you look at the history, you know, in the 60s, we call them a lot more of the smaller mom and pops, you know, kind of still mining the veins, cranking out the gold that was there. And as we've evolved, you know, as a town and Fort Knox was discovered, we a lot of studies have been done on the geology of Fairbanks, you know, and it's a very, very still fertile terrain. You know, there's still a lot of gold in the ground. There's still a lot of gold in the placer fields out in there. And Fairbanks still has a history of gold mining or a future of gold mining here, you know, going forward. You know, and I think one of the important things we look at, and as we talked the other night, we look at the past history of mining, and then, of course, you can look to the future. And I'm extremely excited to see and talk, what's that future of mining look like? This is not what we used to do.
Right.
I mean, everything evolves.
Very definitely not. Yes.
You know, we have talked, you know, safety, environment, you know, those are the top pillars in anything we do, basically in your risk assessment going forward. So to me, it's really interesting to look at what could that future be for Fairbanks? You know, still creating profit locally, supporting, you know, the support of the local vendors through there as we continue to understand the geology of the Fairbanks district.
Yeah. And that takes a lot of time as well.
And money.
And money.
Are tied together.
Yep. Yes. And there is quite a bit of exploration. Well, the first step is somebody runs around and looks at the rocks. Well, I guess looks at the maps first.
Yep. Yep. Absolutely. And I got a great analogy for us on this. You know, what is exploration? And to me, it's using the science and the background that we know to try to find what we're looking for. You know, and you go out there to find something. You know, we're trying to find mineralization. You know, we'll take it for Fairbanks. So,
We hear the music in the background. That means the satellite's coming overhead, and it's going to take over the program in about half a minute or so.
Yep.
So we'll take a break and hear from some national news and the weather and some words from our sponsors. But stay with us, and we'll get back to the important topic of
geology.
Gold mining and geology in Fairbanks. All right, stay with us.
Coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM.
This is a Fox News alert. I'm Jill Nato. President Trump has arrived in Alaska for a high-stakes meeting with Russia's Vladimir Putin, even as President Zelensky says Russian strikes continue against Ukraine. As President Trump was leaving for the summit, he told Fox the ongoing attacks are one of Putin's tactics.
He's trying to set a stage. I mean, in his mind, that helps him make a better deal. It actually hurts him. But in his mind, that helps him make a better deal if they could continue the killing.
The president also vowing he will not let the Kremlin grab land.
If I wasn't president, he would right now be taking all of Ukraine. But he's not going to do it.
Trump said if the ceasefire talks don't go well, he's going to walk. Trump has described the talks as a feel-out meeting and says his top priority will be to determine whether a ceasefire in Ukraine is possible. America's listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
Radio Kenai reports that First National Bank Alaska is warning customers about a sharp increase in fraudulent phone calls and text messages targeting Alaskans. Scammers are impersonating bank employees to trick people into revealing sensitive information such as login credentials, debit card details, and ACH information. Fraudsters are using spoofed caller IDs that may appear to be from First National, making the messages seem legitimate. The number one thing is a credit union, bank, or financial institution will never never reach out to customers asking them for their personal account information, said Denise Brown Robinson, Corporate Communications and Customer Experience Director at First National Bank Alaska. Don't take the bait, hang up the call, block the caller, block the texter, report them, and reach out to your financial institution and let them know what's happening, said Robinson. Customers are urged to never share passwords, PINs, or one-time login codes, and avoid clicking links or downloading attachments from unknown senders.
Streaming live online at KFAR660.com.
Got that one tree hanging over your house? Or you need a bunch of trees removed for fire safety? The one to call is the Great Alaska Tree Company. They specialize in hazardous tree cutting and removal, especially in tight quarters. Great Alaska Tree Company gives you the most complete tree service with stump grinding, brush cutting, chipping, and even pruning. Licensed, bonded, insured. Everyone loves the Great Alaska Tree Company. Well, everyone but the squirrels, that is. Call Eric today for your free estimate and year-round and emergency service at 978-4702.
You need to fix something? Are you looking for a whatchamacallit or a kind of thingamajig? Find it at Century Hardware. See the largest selection of standard and metric nuts, bolts, and screws in the interior. If it hooks on, holds on, hangs on, clips on, glues on, bolts on, screws in. If it fastens stuff together, Century has it. Always has. Be sure to ask about their prodigious selection of doomaflashies. Century Hardware. What you need right now.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
And we are back. Thank you for staying with us. You're listening to Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 660 AM, 97.5 FM, and kfarradio.com. Your guest host this morning is Mike Prox, and with me in the studio, we have Rick Larimore and... No, we don't. We have Dave Larimore and Rick Van Nuysen. No, I got the rest of it wrong. Rick.
Just yes. We'll have lessons afterwards.
Lessons. We'll practice that one. Yes, very good. So we've been talking about mining and geology, and we're transitioning kind of into how this is doing for Fairbanks. What's going on in the area? Rick, take it from there.
Well, I'll take it. We were briefly talking about exploration, you know, and how do we get there through the exploration process? You know, we know we're in an area that's pretty well endowed, but really it's that exploration piece, that geology. And the best analogy I can kind of come up with is, you know, you've been shopping for years at West Fred Meyer's, right? Mm-hmm. And we're looking for something specific. So if we're looking for gold, our analogy is being, hey, we're going to look for chocolate chip ice cream, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we've been shopping for years at West Fred Meyer's, so that's our education and our geology. But now we're going to go to the East Fred Meyer's for the first time. A little different. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't know everything, but we know it should be over there somewhere. Absolutely.
Yes.
So we use all of our senses. We use all of our knowledge and try to figure out where's this, you know, chocolate chip ice cream. So we walk in there. Okay. We know we're not around the freezers. So that's kind of our land reconnaissance. We see the freezers over there in that area. So we've isolated the area we want to get to. So we're gonna target this area over here. Very much the exploration process. Then we go over there. We might not be able to see what every ice cream is, but and don't do this. We're just going to dip our finger in and taste it. Oh, that's strawberry. That's not what we're looking for. That's vanilla. That's not what we're looking for. That would be kind of analogous to your kind of drill program through there. And then finally, yep, that's our chocolate chip ice cream. So, hey, we've zeroed in and we found what we're looking for. You know, that's how you take your knowledge, your base, your expertise from school and everything else, and you apply it to a new area, just refining that process down to find our gold deposit or chocolate chip ice cream.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of the exploration in a nutshell. And to pivot a little on this, you know, we get in there and we start mining this chocolate chip ice cream, but we realize now that it's actually mint chocolate chip ice cream, right? Hey, that's good. We got our chocolate chips, which is our gold, but our mints are all the other elements that kind of come together in these ore deposits. You know, this very, very infrequently you're going to find just a gold deposit or just a copper deposit. You know, through that geochemistry, fractionation of everything, these elements come together. So in this analogy in the Fairbanks, you know, that mint part, you know, very much could be the antimony. Or, you know, these other deposits are critical metals that we're trying to find.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, critical metals, a lot of talk, is a lot of good for our technologies. But what's really important to understand is you just don't target a single critical metal out there. You know, it's very difficult. What you're targeting is the larger deposits, you know, the gold, copper, moly, or your larger VMS that's got your zinc, lead in there. So it's very difficult to target a single element. You know, you're targeting the whole system. And what I really like about the technology and going forward is there's a lot of work at looking at these ore deposits. You know, I'll just briefly talk about Pogo. We know that it's a gold mine out there, but it also has associates of bismuth and tellurium. So a lot of research in the past is like, okay, well, you're not going to directly mine the tellurium. You know, it's not quite concentrated enough. But where in that process is it concentrated? You know, so a lot of studies are going back into looking at these critical metals of these main gold deposits to be able to isolate out, and can we economically pull out these streams of critical metals going mm-hmm. forward in our larger deposits?
Mm-hmm.
So Fairbanks is much, much bigger than just gold.
Mm-hmm.
There's all these other elements with it that we need to look at, you know, and pull out and figure out, hey, how can we extract these and really juice the whole system for everything we need locally?
Mm-hmm.
I had not heard the mint chocolate mint analogy before, but actually it fits really well. I'm impressed, Dave.
Well, it looks like we have a phone call. Ready for a phone call?
Sure.
Good. Good morning. You're on KFAR, and who am I speaking with?
Hi, Mike. This is Jen.
Jen, how are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic, and I'm glad for the topic that you guys have today.
Good.
I just wanted to add to the discussion how much we don't always tell more of the positive stories about mining, some of that being the reclamation efforts and, you know, what we have after a mine runs its life course, and the positive stories of what's left there. About 20 years ago, a mutual friend of ours was trying to finish their degree, and I gave them all my data on fisheries and mining on the Copper River. We've been dealing with low salmon runs for a very long time, but I correlated 5 years after the mine started getting active, the salmon runs were up, and their highest returns were while the mine was active. And 5 years after the mine stopped, in that particular instance, that's when we had the salmon declines again. And I think that we just don't always tell the positive story about responsible mining. We're in defense so often and kind of whack-a-mole with the people who don't understand and spread misinformation and, you know, the few things that happen that are tragic. But, you know, just as a supporter of mining, I just wanted to focus a little bit on that for today's discussion. Thanks.
Good. Yeah. Good point.
I would say, Jen, I appreciate your comments there. I've talked before, especially with the Alaska Miners Association. Miners don't brag enough, you know, and I'll say that frankly, you know, so I'll brag for them as well from the Alaska Miners' point of view. You know, some great stuff happens out there. I mean, even in the major mines, you know, we've talked Red Dog, how they've cleaned up the water, Pogo sitting on a salmon-bearing stream, operating for the past, you know, 15 years, you know, on a cyanide operation, keeping the environment clean down there, Fort Knox locally, establishing new fish passages, bringing fish back up there.
Well, in True North, if you want to look at an awesome reclamation,
it is.
Go look at the True North mine. I mean, it's really nice.
Yep.
They've done
it
an awesome job.
Yep.
And whittling down even to our placer miners. You know, placer miners out there, they're doing their job, and they got reclamation going. You know, permits out there, making the place better. So I definitely appreciate that comment.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
many instances where habitat has been improved by the use of a mine,
mm-hmm.
and you know, ecosystems had actually been improved. And you're right, miners are humble people, mm-hmm. and they don't brag enough. So I'm hoping you guys can do more of that while I hang up and you guys get back to your program.
Very good. We will do that. We will continue the story. Thank you for calling.
I got a quick. Funny kind of quick story with that. When I was working with Red Dog, I worked up there at Red Dog Exploration. And we all know Red Dog Creek, you know, back in the early 80s, just orange. You know, just all the sulfides leaking out. The mine was built, isolated that out. Fish returning through there, and even the water getting treated and discharged. And I'll kind of throw out there, Wayne Hall, who was the environmental manager at the time, went out with him, and he had a campaign where he was drinking water straight out of Red Dog Creek every day just to show everyone that, yep, this water is clean, and he was going to put his life on the line to prove it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, and I think a lot of people don't recognize that Mother Nature can be a very awesome polluter.
Mm-hmm. Right.
and in the case, Red Dog is a classic case of that. And in fact, that's actually how we find ore deposits is through geochemistry. And Dave spoke about that. They're naturally occurring ore deposits are anomalous. There's anomalous metals around. That's how we find these things. So. Yeah, and obviously something like Red Dog, which is a world-class zinc deposit,
mm-hmm.
You know, it's naturally polluting. So the mines actually cleaned up that water.
Yeah, that is good. And when they started with Fort Knox, one of the first things they did while they were building the mine, I guess, is Fish Creek, I believe.
Yeah.
And there are more fish in that creek.
Absolutely.
And I notice that the Little Chena River is clearer than it was when we first got up here.
Yeah, it's not hard to create fish habitat.
Right.
It really isn't. It just takes a plan, and you have a reclamation plan anyways. When you permit a mine in Alaska, you permit it from the start of construction to closure.
Right.
And obviously monitor beyond that to make sure that you've done a good job at right. your closure plan. But you
and bond it.
You don't get a permit until you do all of that. Yes. And yes, it's bonded. So
yes.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like we did 100 years ago.
No, for sure.
And I always say when people say, oh, you know, mining's polluting, I say, well, can you point to a mine in Alaska today
right.
that is polluting? And the answer is that there isn't one.
No. And, you know, part of it is the oversight. There yep. is more so, oversight. But once you get used to the idea and incorporate, well, really from the start, reclamation in your plan, safety in your plan, you can do it without much additional expense.
Yeah, Dave said the first two things on are any mining company's agenda is safety first, environment second,
mm-hmm.
And then profit is third.
Third, yep, yes. And that's the way we should do things, yep. yes. And that...
that's the way we do things. That's not how China does things.
Well, it true, yes.
brings the whole critical metals discussion yep. into...
It into does, it. And that's a good point, that if you need the metals, which we do, no question about that, this is, yes, if you want to use your cell phone, you are interested in the mining industry. and this is the best place to do that from an environmental perspective.
Nobody has a better environmental and safety record
mm-hmm.
than Alaska.
Yep.
Everybody, including all of us who live here, the reason we live here is because we like it, what that is out there. And right. we're not going to screw it up.
Yep.
You go to a mine or an exploration out there, I'll give you 90% of those guys think they're the best hunter and fisherman in the world. I know because I was.
You
know?
You're right.
So, yeah. yes, we're outdoors people, and we want to take care of our land and
yeah.
out there as well. We're not just out there tearing it up. And you know, I think it's interesting kind of segue for us as we talk, you know, this building capacity and building and mining these minerals, you know, in Alaska and the U.S. You know, we've had some great EOs. You know, we've got some great – kind of some reforms coming, you know, to let the geologists do what we've got to do to turn it over to the engineers to build mines. But really, it's finding it in America. But the next step, to me, is going to be processing it in America.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I think a lot of people, and we've been to Washington, D.C. and talking about this, you know, you talked about the executive orders and this push to produce more critical metals.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of really important points. As I think Dave already mentioned, you don't mine for most of the critical metals that people think about, things like germanium and gallium and indium and things like that that make your mm-hmm. touchscreen work. You mine for lead, zinc, copper.
Right.
And those other metals come out through the smelting and refining process.
Mm-hmm.
We have two copper refineries in this country, mm-hmm. one in Salt Lake City, one in Morenci in Arizona, and one zinc smelter of size. Mm-hmm. In Tennessee, they're at capacity.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to get more metal and control that supply chain, we need more smelting capacity and smelting/refinery capacity.
Right.
And Alaska happens to be located in the perfect place, not just to process our own smelt and refine our own metals, but all the way from Chile, Mexico, British Columbia,
mm-hmm.
all those ships with metal concentrates on their way to China pass within 500 miles of Alaska.
Yeah.
So, and obviously today's a very historic day with Trump and Putin meeting where? In Alaska.
In Alaska, yes. Well, let's continue that. We've got 1:45 of the hour. We have to take a break for some of our sponsors that make this show happen. And so stay with us. We'll be back in just a few minutes.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Hi, it's Chuck Indereed, your host for Shooter's Corner, the show dedicated to firearms conversation and education and the shooting sports. You'll be on target for fascinating guests, expert tips, gear reviews, plus thrilling stories. Get the lowdown on local 2A events and more. You won't want to miss a single episode. Join me, Chuck Indereeden, every Thursday morning at 11 for Shooter's Corner, where precision meets passion. Sponsored in part by Rogers Auto Repair. Listen right here on KFAR 660 AM.
Hi, this is Dr. Amy Seiberlich here to tell you about Health Talk. Every Saturday at noon, join Dr. Scott Looper from White Spruce Medical and special guests like me who have our fingers on the pulse of Fairbanks Golden Heart. Learn about a wide range of topics and pick up some beneficial health tips and practical health information pertinent to interior Alaskans. Listen live every Saturday at noon or online anytime at KFARradio.com. Health Talk with Dr. Looper, brought to you by White Spruce Medical. Check us out at whitesprucemedical.com.
Words are in great supply. There are so many words that it is sometimes difficult to choose one. Deep down, we know a single word can change a mind, a heart, even the history of your septic tank. Like procrastination, as in putting off pumping your septic tank. Don't do that. Regular septic tank pumping keeps me regular, and I last much longer. My family has Bigfoot Pumping and Thorn pump me out once a year, and I continue to serve them much better.
Meet John from Fairbanks. He saved almost $2,000 a year on his home and auto insurance when he switched to the Loa Carroll Hubbard Agency.
I saved so much, I'm thinking about buying a new riverboat. Well, maybe a side-by-side. Okay, maybe just a new rifle. But I'm definitely not going back to paying high prices for insurance.
And you don't have to go back to paying high prices for insurance either. Switch to the Loa Carroll Hubbard Agency by calling 907-474-8002. That's 474-8002. Call today and see how much you can save.
KFAR weather.
Cloudy skies expected this afternoon with a slight chance for scattered rain showers. Daytime highs approaching 53. Winds out of the west 10 to 15 miles an hour. Overcast skies again tonight. Chance for scattered rain showers. Lows dip down to about 43. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Derek Height.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
And we are back. Thank you for staying with us. You're listening to KFAR Problem Corner on 660 AM, 97.5 FM. Your guest host this morning is Mike Prox, and with me in the studio is Rick Van Nieuwenhuizen.
Yes.
Yes.
Perfect.
And Dave Larimore, we're talking about mining, and kind of where we left off on the break was the processing and refining end and some of the opportunities really that are available to Alaska. So if you want to continue, either Rick or Dave, want to continue with that?
Yeah, so I mean, that's a problem for the country, frankly. Mm-hmm. And again, I think we just think Alaska is very strategically located to capture metal concentrates that are today on ships from Chile, Peru, Mexico, British Columbia, actually even Alaska. Alaska mines, we don't have any smelting capacity here, and there's no other smelting capacity in the U.S., so they all go to China.
Right.
Greens Creek, Kensington, Red Dog.
Right.
So that's, if we want to control the supply chain, that's what we need to build here, is that infrastructure, that smelting, refining infrastructure.
Mm-hmm. And even the bars that are produced at Fort Knox, they...
No, they go to Salt Lake City, Asahi Refinery in Salt Lake City, and then they alternate with a refinery in Switzerland.
I see.
Yep. Okay. That we do.
That we've got, at least in the U.S., and...
And a lot of people don't recognize, they think gold's just, you know, some jewelry thing or you know, rich people buy gold and put it in their safe or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Gold actually is a critical metal and is becoming more critical with the advent of AI. And as AI continues to grow, it will become more and more. Because all the connections that, like, absolutely 100% have to happen
are gold is the way to go.
It's not a copper. It's not silver. Even though... technically, silver is a better conductor. Pure silver is a better conductor, but pure silver corrodes very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
So, gold's the in all these high end applications, it's about gold. So, you're going to see that sector continue to grow.
Mm-hmm. And even if you're interested in, what do they call it, alternative energy, windmills, solar panels, they depend on mining.
And absolutely.
If that's going to expand, we're going to have a significant increase in mining production. We have a phone call. Let's go to the phones. Good morning. You're on KFAR's Problem Corner. And who am I speaking with?
So, yeah, this is Phil. So,
Phil,
I've got a question.
Yeah, has there been any thought given to developing Tower Hills up in Livengood and perhaps shipping that ore down to Fort Knox to be processed?
Yeah, well, I'll just jump in here. Yeah, sure. Good question. And, you know, we're not involved with International Tower Hill. So I think that, you know, get them on the show and ask them the same question.
That will be another show. Yes, that's a great show. So the short answer is yes, a lot of work has been done. My understanding is that it is a huge deposit, but the grade, it's a lower grade deposit, so they have to figure out how to get that out of the ground and process it.
And it all comes down to economics. Yep. You know, how much gold you got, what's your transportation costs, what other elements do they have there? You know, they got some other critical metals there that could change your economics. You know, it's mm-hmm. a fascinating story, and, you know, I'd love to hear ITH talk a little more about it sometime. Yep.
Yes, and I like the way that they're going about it. They are, what should I say, under-promising. I don't know if that's the right word, but they're cautious.
Yeah.
They're not over-bragging and just for the sake of getting the mine going. They yeah. want to wait and be sure that it does work. There's another Fairbanks, well, longtime friend, graduated or went to high school with him that is working on that, and they're doing a good job. So thank you for asking. Good idea. We'll have to get in touch with them and have another show and get in on Tower Hills.
Yeah, thanks for your show. They're very interesting.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for calling.
Okay. Bye, guys.
So, refining. Yes, Alaska is in a good location in the world that access to the shipping lanes. You know, we think of Alaska being way out of the way if you draw a straight line from
you got to look at it from the top down.
From the top down and the great circle routes, well, that's what has made the Anchorage Airport so valuable, is that they're on the close to the great circle routes. And
well, it's interesting when, you know, we talk refinery, you know, I'll pontificate, you know, just kind of in the future. Mm-hmm. Oh, I used a big word.
Get a little closer. There we go.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
You know, refining is great. You know, when I start looking at refining, your next question is going to be energy, you know, which is obviously tied to Alaska as well. You know, okay, how are you going to get this energy? Because they are big energy demands on the smelting side.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we got some great natural gas up north.
Yep.
You know,
we'd be a huge customer.
Yep.
Indeed.
If you have a smelter refinery operation.
Yes.
And you don't just have to. A lot of smelters and refineries are set up for one metal, but you don't have to. You can set them up for multiple metals
mm-hmm.
and just have different tracks. So that is something that's our vision, is what we would like to see in Alaska, and that dovetails really well with producing a lot of natural LNG.
Right,
we'd be a great customer.
Right. So. Yes, and that it all kind of works together. Mm-hmm. I am optimistic that this gas line is finally going to move forward. There's a few other things that have to fall in place, of course, as always, lots of money involved. But I think if we can get, and it looks like, at least on paper, it does work, just the in-state part of it to meet the in-state demand will be great. And my guess is if you get the pipe in the ground, the rest of that is going to fall in place. Yep. We're going to have customers, and we're going to have some significantly lower energy prices in Alaska, and that is going to open up a lot of possibilities.
Well, including food security.
Yes, indeed.
Nothing became more obvious than during COVID and the potential of Seattle port shutting down than, like, holy crap, where are we going to get our food from?
Yes.
So, yeah, we've got lots of land up here.
Yep.
If you've got cheap energy, we can mm-hmm. produce a lot of food.
Yes.
And I can't help but think Trump and Putin meeting in Alaska is not a random thing. It's not, trying to make the trip easier for Putin or something.
Right.
Because it's 9 hours, 9 hours of flying across Russia.
Right.
I've done it. So I think Trump just really does understand the strategic location of Alaska.
Right.
And not just historically, but future going.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it is definitely a historic day. It's kind of fun to be on the radio during a historic day. And I saw earlier what to me made it like super historic is if Hillary Clinton is thinking remotely thinking about nominating Trump for a Nobel Peace Prize, that in itself is historic.
That is historic, and that is great. And I'm looking forward to that happening. I'm optimistic. And we should be maintaining our security because of economic advantages in the world. And we should be making trade agreements and et cetera. Much, much better idea than building more missiles and more bombs. And we have lots of opportunities if we can get over the short-term conflicts and start working together and helping each other out. Hopefully something like that comes out of these meetings and we'll move forward.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm sure it's not going to be an all at once thing, but nope. These are definitely, it's a definitely historic day, and it's kind of I'm looking forward to reading about it in the paper this evening and over the weekend.
Yes, and if something doesn't get resolved today, that's not the end of the world. It takes some time for people to get used to a new idea. I'm finding that out in the legislature, something that I think should be easy. Everybody should go along with it. It's just our natural reaction to, well, let me think about it a while. And so there will be some of that. But, yeah, I hope good things come out of that. All right. Let's see. We are getting fairly close here. We've got about a minute and a half. Any last words to kind of wrap this up?
Yeah, I'll throw it out there. You know, I think Alaska is obviously a great place. We got some great geology. We got great mineralization. So, mm-hmm. You know, we want to mine it here. We do it best here. So let's mine it in Alaska. And then the next step is, hey, let's make it in Alaska. Let's process it here and let's make these goods here.
That would be great.
I'll just wrap up by saying, you know, we've got a couple of other projects. We're not just about Manh Choh. Mm-hmm. It's a great project. It's generating good cash flow for us. So we are spending that in Alaska.
Right.
We've got our Johnson Tract project on Siri land on the west side of Cook Inlet. We're currently permitting there an underground access so we can do underground drilling and a feasibility study.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have our Lucky Shot project just outside of Willow. We're already underground and fully permitted there, so we're drilling and looking at developing that. We're close to the Alaska Railroad, so we would certainly take advantage of that existing infrastructure. Again, we're getting mm-hmm. back to that. Take advantage of what you have.
Yeah. Well, I hope you have the best of success. This is going to do a lot of good for Alaska. You know, the state, frankly, doesn't make a lot of money off of mines, but the communities really do well because of mining. So with that, we are going to have to wrap it up because the music is starting. That means the satellite is coming over.
This is a Fox News alert. The summit begins. I'm Lisa Brady. President Trump greeting Russia's President Putin with a handshake after both arrived in Alaska to talk about ending the war in Ukraine. Red carpet on the tarmac leading to a stage with a giant Alaska 2025 for photos before they shared a ride to their meeting. Fox's Brett